We're talking to Simon because he's just come back from the protest down in Wellington a few days ago. But Simon, before we get your perspective on what was happening down there, I just wanted you to tell, probably part of the reason you went down there is your experience, because you did have a vaccine, didn't you?
I'm one of those lucky ones that had a reaction. So I had the first jab end of September, and then I've sort of had heart problems since. So, yeah.
And has it been fairly serious for you?
Definitely the most intense health experience of my life, I'd say.
All right.
The hospital trip. Yeah, lots of doctor time. Finally got to a cardiologist a few weeks ago after 4 months. So, yeah.
So are you able to even have a second jab? Never mind a third.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. The intensity of the reaction and the pain and the thumping heartbeats and, really, you know, ending up in hospital, taking a personal locator beacon out on the farm and all that sort of thing. So a couple of doctors saying that it would be dangerous to get the second jab.
Mm.
Meanwhile, doctor and hospital and the cardiologist and that sort of thing basically being saying you should get the next jab and the booster immediately. So kind of irrespective of the pain and symptoms you've experienced. So it's a really weird situation to be in. You've kind of played the game, been a good kid, taken your jab, and then with having a reaction, suddenly you're sort of, you know, you're kind of invisible a little bit.
So that means obviously you're not having the second jab, you won't be getting a vaccine pass. Did that change your perspective on what's happening in Wellington a bit?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly informed it. It's kind of this odd situation where, you know, it kind of seems like if you're under 70 and you die of COVID, you're a bit of a hero. But if you have a reaction from the vaccine, you kind of don't exist. So I'm kind of in this odd situation where all these other people have had reactions within the friends and social network are sort of contacting me as well, trying to work out what's going on for them. You know, I think I've got 16 or sort of people that I know quite closely who've had reactions of various kinds. Who are having no luck with the health system, so everyone's trying to work it out, what's going on. And, you know, I'm an idiot. I don't know anything about this. So, it's just really frustrating to feel that let down by the health system, really.
So
that's had an influence on my position, for sure.
Well, you'd have to imagine it would, really. So you were down in Wellington. You spent the weekend there. Just from the we're getting lots of media reports, and the media as they always do with protests, and my experience with it, they focus on the most outrageous, the most newsworthy, or the most freaky things, or something that suits if they have some kind of agenda in the background. It seems to be to downplay people power, basically. So we're getting plenty of that. What's it like when you just go inside and you're just one of the people there? What do you see?
I guess, so it was Saturday and Sunday that I was down there, did a road trip down with a few people that we could only really do a short window. There's kind of the security crew that have been organised by the protest, kind of managing the gates, there's signs up, you know, no alcohol, no substances, peaceful behaviour, that sort of thing. So it kind of, I guess the feel of it is one of those larger self-organising kind of things for those who've been to something like Kiwi Burn or Burning Man, permacultural things. There's even sort of elements of kind of Mariah-like sort of feel to it, I suppose. It arguably feels like quite a beautiful sort of space. I think, there's a lot of complexity going on. It's a small space. People are there for a wide variety of reasons. I think it was the Destiny Church element put out a message on Saturday afternoon saying that they were having, musical artists performing and trying to turn it into a festival and encourage people to come. So sort of going off message there a bit. This big group of people being there for a couple of weeks and other elements kind of gravitating towards the fringes of that. So things are really good on the inside, but kind of around the perimeter that, there was some people, the friends who stayed there on the Saturday night, they were saying there was some drinking going on outside. There was, there were people coming and starting to play music and just, DJ music and change the vibe of the whole thing. So, but within it's pretty amazing. Like, there's the little herb gardens that people have probably seen photos of, chalked artwork, all the food provision, lots of health and exercise sort of stuff, kids' spaces with movies and play areas and the family zone and that sort of thing. So, that's a little bit of a summary.
And facilities, Simon, because that's the thing that we're hearing a bit about in the media. There was even someone was saying there was feces on the ground, although some other journalist, like Barry Soper, said that was nonsense. So we'll probably take that as read as nonsense. But there's facilities for people to go to the toilet and have a shower and things like that.
Oh, absolute nonsense for human waste on the ground. Like, I think, there was, of course, the sprinkler systems being turned on by Mallard, which I think had made the ground muddy at one point, and there was quite a bit of rain on the Saturday night when I was there too. But I think farmers had sent in trucks of hay
that had been
put down. there were all the portaloos. So there's, I think it's three reasonable sized blocks of portaloos. Sometimes the queues could take you 10 minutes, I suppose, 5 or 10 minutes to get to a portaloo, and that was probably kind of peak crowd, I'd say, possibly over the weekend. So that all seemed good. There were recycling facilities. I did see someone sort of tip a kind of laundry, a little plastic tub of dishlight water into the drain, and I didn't think much of it at the time. Obviously there's those complaints about waste having gotten into the drainage system, so maybe that's someone with a tents or whatever have done their own little setup. Food, there's quite a wide variety of food provision. It was quite ridiculous. Like the Hare Krishnas, their tent, the queues were lengthy for those.
Right.
Huge amounts of donated food just being coming in. They were having kind of too much food to deal with in some ways. One of the people that was with us, she was doing some volunteer time down there, and she said, four giant banana boxes of avocados came in while she was serving food, and, people just bringing in donations. So, people are eating really well. Kids are super happy and climbing around and playing and drawing and stuff.
What do you do when you're there? When you're just staying there and you're there all day, what sort of things are people doing?
Well, there's kind of the sound system and speakers kind of get going in the afternoon, so there's a variety of stuff happening there, music and speakers, artists performing. We were thinking it'd be quite nice for there to be some comedy and satire. Mm-hmm. It was kind of perhaps the piece that was kind of missing between the music and the talks. Otherwise, stalls, Raglan had quite a big camp there next door to Pahu, so a lot of Raglan people down there.
Actually, just out of curiosity, can you estimate how many are down there?
I don't know. It was hard to pick. Definitely the thousands.
I mean, just from Raglan.
Oh, from Raglan, I would have thought about 20.
Okay. People are coming and going, obviously, as well, with work and that sort of thing.
Totally. So, you know, like us, there are people who could make 2 days to come and then they're gone, and others stepping in. So kind of the tent spaces were sort of swapping around and tents being used. Some had been able to be there for a week or 10 days. So really depends on what time availability people can make away from work and commitments.
Well, and what's the feeling, the kind of the expectation about whether the protest will be successful?
Yeah. I don't know. That's hard to pick. I guess people, you know, there's that element being there of, like, we're just staying until the situation changes. It's that really bizarre situation of politicians refusing to engage in any way whatsoever, which kind of feels quite ridiculous, particularly for the police. I kind of feel for them in a way. They're just sitting there engaged with the protest the whole time. From day one, day and night, and, you know, are really forced to be the ones to try and talk, but that's not who the protesters came to talk to. They didn't come to talk to the police. They came to talk to the people that they voted for. So I think that's been really juvenile.
I suspect that they probably feel like they'll give the protest credibility if people from the government go to talk to them, and I think that PR side of it, the public perception side of it, is where a lot of the battleground is at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I think, every protest tries to get invalidated. The powers that be try to invalidate it in the eyes of the public while it's happening, until time has passed and its influence, and if any, in the history is kind of recognised. But I think there would be a lot of people who would be frustrated that, you know, this has gone on for so long just through refusal to communicate. And, I mean, it is a democracy, you know.
You mentioned it right at the start that as you came in, you saw signs saying, you know, it's a peaceful place and no drugs or alcohol and that sort of thing, which I'd never heard before. Because that hasn't been reported. But I imagine, the media is saying the bulk of the people are trying to be peaceful. They're reporting on every single incident, I think they can find, that is not a peaceful act. How do the rest of the protesters feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think... Yeah, there's complex individuals that have gravitated there who don't necessarily reflect what the protest is about. So there's this attempt by the protest to control any elements that might be like that. But then, you know, you have the police pressure coming on, this attempt to hold the line and hold a position there. I don't know how to describe that one really.
But is there a sense of frustration that things like that keep happening?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I was looking at, I don't know if you saw that video of the guy who got eye gouged by the police against the Portaloos and then arrested. He seems to be, you know, saying that it was a little bit heavy-handed, like he's not describing it particularly badly, but he was sort of punched multiple times, and then the stuff presentation of that video, they've sort of put kind of an advertisement over that area of the video where it gets screened so that doesn't get shown. So I think... Yeah, there is a bit of that tweaking of the narrative to support any negative view of the protest that can be made. I think that conversation around Destiny Church, conservative influences from overseas and things, certainly, you know, those components are there, but the protest is much broader than that as well.
If I was down there and like pushing really hard against the government for this, I'm really aware of the tactical strategic side of it, and the reason the police don't go in to just clear everyone off is because that's not going to play well on TV, and what they call middle New Zealand's not going to like to see that happening in New Zealand, so it becomes a bit of a PR battle. And every time there's something to report like that, even if it's like 1% of 1% of the people down there are causing the problems, as someone looking at it from a strategic point of view, it would be incredibly frustrating.
Yeah. I think the longer it goes on and these kind of ongoing pushes by the police and people's frustration there growing, I think there'll just be this trickle feed of little negative things which will be useful to sway public opinion or keep wherever public opinion is at. I think that'll be beneficial for the government to just keep mining those negative moments as much as possible.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you going to go back down at some point, do you think?
That was kind of my window.
Right.
Depends how long it lasts, I suppose.
Because you're pretty busy on the farm, I presume.
Yeah. It's a little bit hard to get away from hundreds of animals, really, isn't it?
Don't take them with you. They wouldn't be good for the PR.
If I had a goat, I think I'd take a goat. A goat would be quite cool. But
right.
I guess it's just, where do we get to precedents being set? Protest, this one's kind of interesting. You know, other protests, GE and things, and Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreements and things like that. You know, there are these pockets of protest going on around the world with different timelines, and whereas this is kind of happening in multiple countries at the same time over the same thing, which is kind of is quite interesting, and some of that other labelling in Canada and the US and kind of calling protest domestic terrorism, is a little bit of a problem.
I don't think you'd get away with that here in New Zealand. People would be like, oh, don't be ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. I certainly hope so. I certainly hope they don't get away with that elsewhere as well.
You know, in the US, as soon as you say the T word, everyone gets all excited. So,
exactly.
It's a different world over there.
Yeah, very much so. Which is that weird thing of when ideas get imported for protest, and ideas get imported from the other side of the argument too.
So another thing that's been said, there's little posters going around Facebook showing a bunch of alt-right characters of dubious repute and saying that they are influencing the protest. Did you meet any of the alt-right down at the protest?
No, I mean, I looked, but I didn't find anything, and I didn't recognise those characters. It doesn't mean that they're not there or have roles to play, but there were some pretty amazing conversations and performances coming from the stage, in terms of the content and dialogue there. So
okay, so just like some political chat or discussions or that sort of thing, theorising, strategising, I presume that's going on.
Yeah.
And what about the fact that there's, like, everyone's reporting it's a leaderless event, but I've also heard that the police have actually found individuals to talk to represent. Is that fairly accurate?
Yeah, well, protest so often is quite leaderless, or there's many elements that are there. I wasn't there long enough to really comment on that, but it is one that is quite different, you know, like a GE protest, you know, the groups represented there a little bit more limited. This one, it's a really broad spectrum of groups there.
Mm. So that's pretty much as reported, they've got a wide variety.
Yeah. I think politicians and police and those who perch on top of a hierarchy like to interact with another pyramid-like hierarchical structure.
Yeah.
So that's what they're seeking.